Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, it is Tuesday night, and that familiar slap of the bass means it's time for the Pugilist Corner. Hey, you got a great show in store tonight. Got a few guests, Mr. Jake the Snake Smith from Baltimore, boxing. We also have Gary Antonio Russell on. He's going to he's actually down with his younger brother. While he's competing in part of the Olympic trials, the World Series of Boxing, and also we're going to be talking to Mr. Hank Lundy. But right now we seem to have a little trouble getting Jake the Snake. Let's see what the deal is here. I think this is Jake the Snake. Jake is here now. Jake.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
Hey, what's going on, my man? You know, before I even get started, Jake, hey, man, you know, I didn't know I had opened up a can of worms there, my man. And when I put your picture out there on Facebook, you know, I have as many likes as I've experienced for any program all year.
Oh, man. Oh, I like that. Great. Facebook does wonders for me, man. Makes me lazy.
Hey, I'm telling you, you know, good publicity for both of us. You know, maybe I should put my ugly mug over there beside you, man, you know?
Yeah, it was a good class of people I was on there with. That's why I got all them likes. good group.
Yeah,
good
well,
hey,
you know.
Trainers.
Yeah, we're going to be talking with one of the young fighters that has been through the amateur program, Mr. Gary Antonio Russell. Gary Antoine Russell has already made the Olympic team, but I guess they're down there for the World Series of Boxing. Jake, you know, you're really into the amateur program and really into community and whatnot. Can you tell us a little bit more about the changes that's been made in the amateur program lately? Last week we were talking with Barry, and Barry kind of, you know, he touched upon it, and you touched upon it in some of our other numerous conversations. How come our Olympic team is not being trained by American coaches?
I have no idea what they're doing with all that, man. It's not right. Like, it's more because it's more focused on the international part of boxing. Points, points, points. Make sure you touch them with the front part of your glove. That's the only reason why I could think of something like that crazy. You know, something crazy like
well,
that.
Well, now, you know, maybe it's because I'm a little older than you, Jake, and, you know, maybe some people don't remember, but I seem to remember the guys from, you know, like Howard Davis and Sugar Ray Leonard and Muhammad Ali, I think a lot of their trainers, if I recall correctly, were American trainers. They didn't go to Russia to get a trainer for Muhammad Ali to fight in the Olympics.
No, that ain't right. It's not politically correct either, I wouldn't think. I mean, come on, man. We'll take our fighters to another country to be trained. Keep them right here. You try to keep them with the trainer that got them there. Is the way I look at it. I hate when they scoot these boxers somewhere else, except they sign with a promotional company and they go, well, you got to have this guy train you now. Come on, man. That's what made the fighter. They have a bond. The trainer and the fighter have a real good bond together. They click 90% of the time. There's some other ways that, you know, they click with other people, but I don't see it happening too much.
See, not. once again, you kind of opening up old wounds there, because, you know, I've also talked to this about other trainers and you know, coaches and whatnot. Back in the day, like you said, I mean, you had one trainer, you know, maybe one guy took you through the amateurs, then you got another trainer when you were a pro. Maybe. Sometimes that trainer was able to make the transition. But now, a guy loses a fight, he gets a new trainer. He crosses the street, and reads a commercial, he gets a new trainer. Jake, what's up with that?
It's just the loyalty in this game is just going to crap anymore. You've got so many people chirping in the fighters' ears now. It's just sick, man. I mean, it's hard when you put your heart and soul into these guys and you try to build them up and you try to stay loyal to them. You're hoping they're going to stay loyal to you. And then you got Joe Blow down the street talking all kinds of crazy stuff to him that he can't do crap for him, but he's going to tell him he can. And this fighter is going to believe him. It's just, I don't know, man. It's heartbreaking.
You know, it is. I mean, you know, when you consider, you know, gentlemen like yourself that have put, you know, their whole heart and soul and their life into boxing and to see it being so corrupted. And it's a different type of corruption now. I mean, you know, we talk about the days, you know, when you had, you know, the mafia in the dressing room and the loaded gloves and stuff like that. But the corruption nowadays, I think, is for the very fabric of the game. It, you know, like you say, we've lost our loyalty. Fighters and trainers, the transition is much different. I mean, I know we live in social media and the money is outrageous, but, you know, the sad thing is, Jake, is that a lot of these fighters don't get to see that big money, and yet and still on the grassroots level, the game is seen to be corrupted.
Oh, yeah. It's, once dollar starts getting involved, it starts to really getting corrupted. And especially when these guys see a real good amateur, they start chirping in his ear then, too, because they see dollar signs, and they're thinking that they're going to be the next manager, you know, because they're stealing a fighter. I've seen so many fighters leave their trainer, the group of people that they've been with, and then just turn to crap, like overnight almost. Mike Tyson, for example. I mean, look what happened to him when his whole team fell apart. He pretty much went to shit. Excuse my language, went to crap.
we are definitely a PG-13, so, you know, don't worry. You know, as long as we're not taking videos, we're pretty much all right. You know, but you know, it is. I mean, you know, and coming up under a gentleman like, you know, Emmanuel Stewart, you know, and some of the greats, you know, I mean, even you even see a lot of, I think, commercialism between the trainers nowadays. I mean, before, you know, and I'm going to use two names here in particular. I'm talking about Freddie Roach and Teddy Atlas. You know, back in the day, I mean, back in the day, you know, I mean, they were good trainers. They weren't Eddie Futch or Emmanuel Stewart. But nowadays, I mean, you know, people go to them like, you know, this is the second coming of, you know, the Bible of boxing. I mean, you know, even to go even further, come on, an MMA fighter on the cover of Ring magazine, Jake? I mean, what is the boxing?
A female fighter at that. Not knocking female fighters, but she's a female fighter in the MMA business coming, getting on the cover of boxing magazine. Come on, man. It's all about them dollar signs. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's really hard, you know, to like I said, you know, when you look back upon the history and you think upon it, I mean, you know, and the great history of amateur boxing, and then, you know, you see what happens now. We talked about that before, too. You know, the number of amateur fights before, like you say, you know, there's somebody out there looking at him. But, Jake, before we get back into to my little rant and whatnot, let's talk a little bit about what you have coming up. Tell us a little bit about the show that you have coming up, and what's going on down here in Baltimore.
I got the Super Brawl of boxing. You're not allowed to use a Super Bowl, so I had to use a Super Brawl. Sounds better anyway. It's January 28th in Michael's 8th Avenue in Glen Burnie. It's an all-amateur card, which I'm very happy with just doing the amateurs right now, but I am talking to a few people about maybe putting on a pro show sometime in the near future. I don't know. Stop that. And I got 4 title bouts on it. It's a bunch of local guys, some out-of-town guys fighting on the card. It's going to be a real good night. I mean, these guys are still hungry. These amateurs are still going at it, wanting to make something out of their careers. They're not laying down for nobody. They're going to have to go to war. And that just makes a rock'em sock'em kind of a night where you got two sides really going at it.
Going back to the old days and the PAL and, you know, all those type of things, is this one of these inner city brawls, or is this more or less of, you know, or is this, you know, for one of this, for a little bit of that state masters, you know, mastery, like, you know, Cleveland against Cincinnati, or, you know, some of that type?
These are all, actually, I got Gary Russell Sr. I'm real good friends with his Russell Jr.'s father, Gary Russell Sr. The main Gary, he's my man, Big Gary. He's got a light heavyweight on the card, and he's got a little 13-year-old 100-pounder on the card too. I try to keep my ties with all the trainers and everybody around this area, putting their amateurs on the card, and try to keep all the local gyms involved. Just, you know, I'm being politically correct too. So, I mean, I'm trying to, you know, try to work with everybody around here to keep their fighters busy. I always ask them, what's the main guy you need to get on the card so I can match him up? Instead of them giving me 30 guys or something, it gets a little out of hand, man. You can't match everybody. But, yeah, mainly local.
Most definitely. Now, talk to us a little bit about that local program down there in Baltimore. I mean, you know, we know about, you know, all of the other things that have happened, and, you know, all the political things that we've seen on TV. But tell us about the hood. Are things getting back to normal? How are your fighters doing? And, you know, how's your gym running, you know, as, you know, what, a year later? The general state of the neighborhood.
You know, you wouldn't even know anything happened, to tell you the truth. It's not even talked about too much around here anymore. I mean, it's pretty much faded away. I mean, I like it like that. It's pretty peaceful. I mean, nobody's really. I just hope the tourists don't have that feeling in them, that they don't mind coming back into town. It's kind of been a little setback on the tourist industry around here. Just because where my gym is, I'm in an area where there's a lot of bars and restaurants, and it's it's a tourist community where I am, and that's. That's been hit a little bit, but it's starting. It's all trickling back.
Yeah, you know, on your picture, it kind of shows reflection of the neighborhood. I mean, it almost looks like a throwback to, you know, when you look at it, Jake. I mean, you know, you could almost put Kronk in front of it, and we'd still recognize it as a boxing gym. I mean, you know, that's kind of the way, you know, boxing gyms used to look back in the day.
Man, if you could come in my gym, you would love it. Just all the old pictures I have, old paintings I have on the wall. You know, I try to mimic the old style boxing gyms. That's what I am. I'm an old style. I've been doing this since I was 12, and I'm pretty old now. So I've been around a little while. So I try to keep the old school atmosphere in the gym.
Now, you were talking a little bit about your amateur program. Tell us about some of the guys that we've talked to, some of the guys that have been coming to the gym and you know, actually helped in the community. We had a few of those guys on the show, but you might want to update us on some of them.
I got a slew of amateurs right now. I've got a few of them getting ready to turn pro. The one gentleman I used to have on the show a little bit, he's a prime example of people chirping in their ears. I'm not going to mention his name because he doesn't need no more publicity out of me right now. But, yeah, people start chirping in their ears, and that's why you're afraid to get him a bunch of amateur fights too, because it happens right in front of you. You know, they just all start talking to the fighter. I mean, you start getting them small amateur fights, then the big dogs start coming out of the woodworks and talking to them when you start seeing you got a shining star. I feel as though you get a shining star, you get them when you've got maybe 20 amateur fights, and you can produce them in the pros just as well as an amateur. I mean, you've got to look out for them for the first 10 pro fights. I mean, you still got to look out for them, I mean, all the way through your whole career, but first 10 fights, you know, you got to babysit them a little bit, keep a good eye on them. And
like you said earlier, you spoke about loyalty. Do you find, you know, even though, you know, a lot of these young guys give lip service to the word loyalty, you know, do you find that a lot of them, you know, don't really know what that word means, especially in the old school sense? I mean, you know, like you said, you know, you got guys chirping in their ears as soon as they win, you know, 10 amateur fights. Oh, man, you're ready to go pro. But, you know, hey, sometimes, Jake, don't you just have to kind of take that hard stance, or, you know, as to be politically correct, tough love?
In the sense of getting them more amateur fights, getting them a lot of amateur fights, keeping them busy, is that what the question is?
Yeah. I mean, you know, even though you know that the vultures are circling, I mean, you know, it is your job to get this man ready, this young man ready for the next level, or to see him make growth in the sport that he loves or thinks, you know, that he might have a chance to make a career in. I mean, you know, how hard is it, you know, I mean, the loyalty runs on both sides. If you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I understand you completely. It depends on the fighter, the boxer, when you have somebody and you're building them up. If you need to really get them 20, 30, 40, 50 amateur fights, you keep it going. There is a time where a fighter, he gets to a point in his amateur career where you're going too far now. It's time to make the transition. But yeah, I understand, and I do that. I mean, you get caught up in it, man. You really do. I mean, you get caught up with these guys. They start wanting to go to the tournaments. You start reaching into your pocket. Before you know it, you're spending a fortune on them, going to all these different tournaments to build their careers. And then, you know, at the end, you hope that they're going to stick with you or wherever, you know, wherever your way is desired to go. But for both of you.
Yeah, I
understand where you're coming. You got to present a career to them too, and yeah, you have to without a question.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have to show them that you're the guy that can take him to the next level. But you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, I remember when the trainer used to be the one that went to the promoter. Or took his fighter to the next level, instead of the promoter coming down and saying so much of, you know, being able to dictate. You know, in the old days, it seemed like the trainer had more of the power, whereas now, you know, it's the promoter, the guy that says, hey, man, I can give you, you know, $100,000 tomorrow. You know,
the guy
you might not make another 30 you might not get another fight for the rest of your life, but Saturday I can give you this. You know, whereas, you know, before it seemed like the trainer was saying, you know, well, look, you know, now we go step one, we go step two, we go, you know, I mean, it just seems like there's a whole different ball game and a whole different set of values involved here.
Yeah, without a question. You know, a lot of these fighters that I see still going on to different levels and making it, they still have their same old trainer with them. They're still with the trainer. They still have that guy guiding him and looking out for him. Right. The loyalty lately seems like it goes with the guy signing the checks. I mean, with the trainer, he's got to have that knowledge to say, hey, yeah, we're going for this step now. We're not going for that step. We're not fighting this guy yet. We're going to fight this guy. We're going to take that money. No, we don't need that money right yet. We need to wait a little bit and get a couple smaller paydays and see what happens. Yeah, definitely. A lot of these guys are jumping to deep water too fast.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and even though we call this a sport, I mean, this, like I said, this is not something you can't play at boxing. I mean, this is, you know, does this guy is actually trying to physically hurt you? I mean, you know, this is, you know, another thing that's another thing I'd like to go into, Jake. I mean, you know, nowadays we seem to be trying to bring these gentlemen along very quickly. Do you believe that perhaps now, I'm trying to taking the headgear away from the amateurs, do you think that we're making a mistake here? Do you think that we're subjecting these guys to punishment much too soon?
Yes, I think taking the headgear off them, it's not good, no. It's you're training amateurs and you're making them a pro without paying them, which that happens a lot too in the game, but you know, that's just another part of the business. But you're making them a professional fighter without, when they're taking the headgear off and you know, you're putting them in there with no shirt on, no headgear, it's kind of like it's a pro fight.
Yeah, I mean, you know, especially when, you know, we start talking about safety and things like this, it just seems to be very contradictory to everything that people are, you know, saying or so-called, you know, advocates of. You know, I mean, you know, you're saying you're an advocate of safety, but yet and still, you know, you take the headgear away from a young kid that's 14 or 15 years old that has the rest of his life ahead of him. So I don't quite see what's going on here, Jake. Maybe you can enlighten me.
It's the international thing again. It's going back to the international level of boxing. They're taking the headgears off because that's what they're doing overseas. And that we're trying to get them prepared for when they do go to the Olympics. You know, that's the only justification I could see out of it. I really don't see too much more. It's going to cause a lot more cuts in amateur boxing. It's not going to be what anybody's thinking. You're going to be sending these guys to the hospital all the time because of headbutts.
Well, headbutts is another good point, you know, but like us, you know, I'm thinking more of, you know, since you're not scoring like a professional, you know, the amateur scoring and professional scoring is very much different, you know, than what is the advantage?
Exactly. I got you. There's not much of an advantage. I mean, I could see if we were trying to get these guys ready to make a pro career instead of, they're taking the headgear off to get them ready to make an amateur career in the Olympics. I don't know. It's got me baffled.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you really think of it, I mean, all of those things used to be a gateway into pro boxing, but, you know, the way that the current landscape is configured, a lot of these guys, once you're out of the Olympics, you don't really hear about them anymore. Jake, what do you think about that? Do you think that the relaxation with our different agreements with Cuba, do you think that that's going to cause another influx of Cuban boxers? Are we going to see more Guillermo Rigondeaux and the latest Cuban fighter we had, Mr. Perez? Are we going to see more of these fighters in the ring?
Oh, yeah. You're going to see a lot more of them in the ring. Without a question. It may be a good thing. I mean, of course, I'm from the United States. I'm for the United States, everything they do, but some of these overseas fighters, they still have the discipline and the loyalty that comes to really breed a fighter. Or they're made into doing it. They're just, you better do this, you're going to get shot or something. I don't know how it works out there. A little different than over here, but yeah, we're going to see a lot more Cuban fighters coming over. Real soon.
I remember what that used to mean. I mean, you know, as far as the pros, I mean, you know, we established some new rivalries and whatnot, but Jake, I mean, you know, right now you got you guys in Baltimore, you know, all that whole area, Baltimore, D.C., you know, that whole little area around there, you have your own little reputation. Are you ready for the boys of the invasion from Florida? Are you ready for those boys to start coming up?
We have to be. We have to get ready for them. Just we got to up our game. It's the way it goes. We've got to go with the flow. And if that's the way it is, we got Jenna that are really functioning now. Our amateur program in Maryland is really strong. We have meetings once a month. We keep all the gyms. I'm the president of South Atlantic, so I try to keep all the gyms involved, where we all come and talk our mind, speak what we got on our mind about what's going on this, that, and the other, and what we need to improve on and what we don't need to improve on. So, yeah, we're strong, and we're prepared, we're ready for whatever gets thrown at us.
Jake, before I let you go, we've seen, you know, the influence of, and you spoke of the influence of the females in the MMA field with Ms. Ronda Rousey and Holly Holmes. Jake, are we going to see, or what? Why aren't we using this tide, you know, to also push our own female boxing women forward? Why are we seemingly holding back when, you know, we should be riding this, for want of a better word, this wave of feminism?
Because boxing's been around. My theory on this is boxing's been around a long time, and it's crazy how women are just being allowed in boxing gyms, and like in the last maybe 15 years, it used to be women weren't even allowed in a boxing gym. I know I trained in a few of them when I was younger coming up, where she wasn't allowed to have girls because they distracted the fighter, the man fighter. Now women, it's getting strong. They love to see women fight. I mean, my opinion, I don't want to see all women on a card, but I do like to see maybe one female fight in a good pro card or even a good amateur card. It's good to have a female fight. I think we are riding the coattails of what's going on right now. I think boxing is starting to work with women more than they used to anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it would just seem to me, I mean, after Muhammad Ali's daughter, after Kayla left women's boxing, I mean, just, you know, it kind of seemed like it didn't have a big name. We didn't push it forward, you know. Hey, man, you know, and quiet is kept. I mean, you know, everyone knows how I feel about Miss Ann Wolf, but, you know, damn, I'd like to see her put in a couple of fights in myself. It might be more exciting than some of the things that we've had on TV.
Oh, heck yeah. Women are exciting, man. They both beat the crap out of each other from most of my experiences watching women fight.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see more of it.
Yeah, well, hey, man, you know how they say, you know, time always flies when you're having fun. But, Jake, definitely like to get the last word from you. Tell us what's happening over there. You know, give us the last tapping on what's going on in Baltimore boxing. You've already spoken a little bit about your program, but any guys that we should be watching, any Olympic hopefuls, anything that you might want to tip our audience off to? Give us the last word for today.
I want to cover my butt on the way of my statement I just made. I've had my gym for 24 years now, and I've always allowed women in it, okay? So I've never had a problem with women coming in my gym. Now, I do have quite a few in there right now, but they just do it for the fitness part of it. I do have a few fighters, women, female fighters, but most of them are just doing that. Okay, let me get back on path here. January 28th, next Thursday at Michael's 8th Avenue, it's going to be the Super Brawl of Boxing. I got four title fights on it. One's for the Maryland Super Heavyweight Championship. I got two open class fighters. They're both getting ready to turn pro. This is their last amateur fight. They're going to go at it. I have a middleweight fight on it. These two boys are both ready to turn pro, too. I'm not sure what the other side's going to do, but my guy, this is like the countdown for his last few amateur fights. That's Donald Wallace. It's just going to be one heck of a... It's going to be... the ticket sales are going great right now. It looks like it may even be close to a sold-out event. They're not sold out yet, so you can still get the tickets. But, yeah, I'm excited for everything that's going on. We do have quite a few Olympic prospects coming up. I don't want to say all their names because there's quite a few, and I don't want to get anybody mad at me for not saying their name. But we have a nice little slew of fighters coming up right now.
Well, you know, now I'm glad you mentioned all of them, Jake, and I'm glad you mentioned Mr. Gary Russell Sr. We are, right after you, we are going to have Gary Antonio Russell on the show. It's kind of hard to keep up with all, even though they're all Gary Russell. It's Antonio.
They're all bad dudes. Jeez. And they're class acts,
yeah,
man. They all have to conduct themselves in a very good manner, man. I really love them guys. They're great for boxing.
Yeah, and we look forward to the whole family. They're all wonderful. We love talking to Coach. We've even had the publicist it's a wonderful working family. They just work together so well, and it's a good, very good example for boxing on how the family should work and keep it together. But JK, man, as usual, good talking to you. If you want to get some of your winners on, man, you know how to get in touch with me, and we can get some of these amateur guys on. I want to start getting some more amateur guys on as well as professional. You have to get these guys. You have to take them just like an infant. You have to bring them into the game and let them know that the game loves them. So I'm willing to grab them as amateurs and go all the way through their careers with them. So a little bit of old school in me, I guess. You know what I mean?
I love it. I love it, man. It's great what you're doing for boxing, man. Awesome. Good stuff.
Yeah. You have a great night, Jake. Look forward to talking to you again soon, my man.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate everything, man. You guys take it easy. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye, Jake. That was Mr. Jake Smith. We all know from Baltimore Boxing, if you want to see a little bit more about Jake, you can check out baltimoreboxing.com and get all his information and what they're doing in the world of boxing. But right now we're going to talk with another young Russell, Mr. Gary Antonio Russell, and he's down in Florida with his brothers, the youngest of which we talked to last week, school valedictorian, and also Olympic hopeful. So let's see what's going on with the Russell family. Blog Talk Radio's getting a little slow connecting with me tonight. Let's see. We should have him. Hello, Gary. Hello, Gary. Hello, Gary.
04.
As we go into voicemail, let's send LaShawn a text and see if we can get Gary on the phone.
Two, 04.
We seem to be having a little trouble getting with Mr. Russell here. Let's see if I can get his publicist.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Russell.
Hey, what's up, man? I've been calling, man. I've been getting the busy signal.
we had quite a few listeners in the switchboard, and we were talking with a guy that you're familiar with, Mr. Jake Smith from over there in Baltimore Boxing.
Okay. I don't know exactly who that is.
I know he works with you and your dad. He fights out of his gym is in Baltimore there. But, let's talk a little bit about you now. Gary Antonio, now, where are you on this totem pole of Russell Brothers? Now, I know we talked to the youngest last week. He was the class valedictorian and the Olympic hopeful, so... what's your weight class and where are you? Let all our listeners know which Russell you are.
Oh, this is Gary Jr., Gary Allen, then me, Gary Antonio. I'm actually currently 5-0 with 4 knockouts as a professional. I won the National Golden Gloves as an amateur, outstanding the Golden Boy of the National Golden Gloves. I won the USA Championship, outstanding fighter of that. I won the National Power Tournament 2 or 3 years in a row. Outstanding twice. I know. And at amateurs,
okay.
I was fighting 123 pounds. At 123 pounds, so I believe that's bantamweight. And now in the pros, I'm fighting 118 pounds bantamweight.
So we down there. You have there's some bad little boys down there. We're just finding out about a lot of you young guys that are down there. But quite naturally, we're thinking about the heavyweights, the middleweights, the light heavies, the welters. But hey. We're starting to hear some noise from young men down there.
From
the
smaller guys,
classes.
No,
Chocolate,
not yet.
Yeah, Chocolate Tito.
There haven't been a lot of...
Lomachenko.
Lomachenko, Donito Donaire, Reagan Dow, and all of them, you know. A lot of guys, usually there's never been a lot of excitement in the lower weight classes, you know, lately. But it's coming back. It's most definitely going to bring excitement back when I get the rumble and I'm aired on TV and everything. I'm most definitely going to bring that excitement that everybody, that's lower weight classes I'm missing. You know, for me to be so small, I'm going to bring speed, I'm going to bring swag and personality, and I'm going to bring punch of power. At the lower weight classes, it's rare that you're coming, that you're going to see smaller guys who's getting knocked out cold, you know? And I have that type of punch of power with me to do so in both hands.
You sound like a Russell. But when are you we can already hear that swag. I mean, it's a kind of a dichotomy to me because, you know, now, I listen at you. I listen at your young brother. I listen to Gary. I watch Gary in the ring. And yet, you know, I mean, we know how cohesive you are as a family, and you're very close-knit. But you guys, all of you seem to have that swag, that confidence about you. But yet, when you talk to Coach is that quiet, intellectual guy that sits over in the corner and say, okay, this is how we're going to do it. You don't really hear. Coach is kind of a guy that even though he's there, you don't really see him. How does he keep that hold on you guys without cracking the whip?
I mean, it's a lot easier than what people think. People forget about the coaches a lot and give a lot of the credit to the fighters. But he's also in our corner all the time. It makes it a lot easier for him to get through to us and keep that hold on us, because at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, he's my father first, you know? So I know he's going to have my best interest at hand as a father. I know whatever he's going to instructions he's going to give me in that corner, I have faith that whatever he's telling me is going to work. So it makes it a lot easier when it comes to him keeping a hold on all of us, you know, on all his boys. At the end of the day, you know, a certain trainer and a fighter, they have to kind of get a, they have to be around each other enough to get, be able to trust them. You know, they have to build a trust with an outsider or a coach. In this case, I don't have to build it. It's naturally instilled into us because he's my father first.
Now, that's another thing. I mean, you know, we've seen a lot of father and son duos, and we've seen a lot of them go, well, you know, for want of a better phrase, from sugar to shit. We've seen some where it works. Mr. Kenny Porter and Sean come to mind. But you guys, mm-hmm. not only are you, you know, just one father and son, you train together as a family. I mean, you are, it doesn't seem to be, you know, that jealousy. You know, I mean,
no. We
all know how brothers are. I have six of them myself, so I know, you know, there's a certain amount of competition, but you guys seem to really brought that into the family and embraced it.
Mm-hmm. No, my dad, he raised men. He raised men, you know. So us being brothers, of course, you know it's going to be competitive. It's always a competitive age when it comes to boys. However, that's what keeps us on the top of our game and keep us so hungry and motivated. However, we're extra humble. You know, we're real humble. And I give it all to my pops. But, you know, when you have brothers who's doing great things, like my oldest brother, he's the WBC champion. My younger brother, he's made it to the Olympic team. You know, we cut from a different cloth. So iron sharpens iron. So it's a lot easier to stay motivated and to stay on the right track when you have so many positive influences around you. It makes the whole process a lot easier and fun.
Ah, now, you spoke of fun. You know, I mean, this is a game where, you know, a lot of fighters, they consider it work. It's not, you know, I mean, we know about the monetary aspects, but tell us also, I mean, you know, like you said, I mean, there's a certain amount of competition among brothers, but tell us how it also, you know, it's also, you know, fun not only to share each other's victories, but to actually see the improvement of one another and be able to gauge that, you know, within the family without having to go outside and really have to, you know, depend on a stranger's point of view.
Okay. Well, first of all, it's fun because, like, we're all Southpaw by the same coach. You know, we all have a individual swag. You know, we're trained by the same person. So you would think we all fight the same. However, what makes us different and unique as an individual is our creativity. Everyone throws the punches the same way. But what are you going to do differently with your punches? Now, by us being brothers, the same DNA instilled into us, taught by the same coach and everything, we could be spawn or anything. We all Southpaw. My dad would tell him to set up his hook. Now, I know he's going to try to set up his hook, but what makes it so fun is, like, it's almost sometimes it's a mirror image. You know he's going to set it up a certain way that you would try to. So you try to do it a little differently, and sometimes it still don't work out the way you want it to because y'all just know each other so well, you know, being around each other every single day. Oh, it makes it a lot fun. You know, we do everything together. It's always competitive, you know. It's, you know, it's good. You know, I don't know too many other fighters that I can say experience things like this. We never have to go and spar with other people. I get the best work with my brothers, you know.
That's another very interesting thing because usually, you know, fighters have to go elsewhere to, you know, especially when they're fighting a southpaw, you know, it's not a look that you're used to seeing. I mean, you know, in the boxing world, it's considered different. You know, you guys, you know, switch to southpaw, you know, to, you know, when they either get in trouble or to confuse their opponents. But you guys, all four of you being southpaws, do you think that presents you as a distinct advantage, you know, when you're going into the ring? Because you see southpaws every day.
Every single day. I mean, yeah, in some cases. However, there are other smart fighters out here who can make the adjustments on fighting southpaws. Now, what would give us the upper hand, not just being southpaw, is our coach. My pops, he's going to give us the tools to win, and they're going to work. We just have to execute them the way he wants us to.
Yeah, you know, I mean, his record speaks for itself when it comes to training you guys, but I mean, you know, hey. Now, talk to us a little bit. We've talked about, you know, coach, as a coach, but tell us about the father side. How do you guys separate the two? I mean, I don't mean separated in the sense of physically, but I mean, you know that as a coach, he has your best at heart, but, you know, there's a certain amount of respect that you have to have as father and son. Tell us about the closeness of your relationship with your father as a son, not as a fighter.
Oh, man, my relationship with my dad as a father, you know, is great. I can't ask for more. He's there for me every step of the way in whatever it is. You know, if I decided not to fight, at the end of the day, he still pops. I know he's still going to be there for me my life. Even as a family, you know, we do everything together. I'm with my pops 24/7 every single day. I go to sleep to him and wake up to him, you know. Same with the rest of my brothers. When we're not in the gym, everybody comes to the house to chill with pops. We always together, you know, and that's what keeps our bond so tight, you know. Some days, and I know we're not talking about him in the gym, but, like, as a coach, he knows how to bring our best up out of us. It would be days I would leave the gym and feel like the worst fighter ever. He cursing me out, throwing stuff at me, cursing at me and everything. When we go home, it's, what's up, son? How you feeling? You hungry? You want something to eat? You want something to eat? Like, oh, wasn't you just mad at me at the gym? Like, it's a difference, and he knows how to separate them. He knows in the coach he's a dad. But after this is over with, he's pops and he plays role so well. That's not even role. That's just him. Just him. It's a process that I love, you know. Working with your dad is nothing like a father figure, man. Like a father figure. He put his life on hold for his kids, you know. And I can't ask for nothing more. I can't ask for no better thing than from a father. He invested all his time into his kids.
We don't hear a lot about the other guy, the coach, your brother that's the coach.
Isla.
I believe you.
Gary Isla.
Tell us a little bit about Gary, and do you see any similarities between Gary Allen and your father, in the sense of him learning the game and learning what it means to be a coach and a trainer, especially when he has so much talent to deal with. I mean, you know, you guys are virtually diamonds that he's not only a part of, but that he's also, you know, been given the responsibility of honing you guys and keeping you guys at the top of your game.
Mm-hmm. Yes, even with Allen, you know, he's no longer fighting. He's no longer fighting for personal reasons. But however, he once was a fighter. And when he was a fighter, he was at the top of his game, also winning national tournaments. You know, so it makes it a lot easier because he's been in the square. He's been in fights and in tough competition. He know what it takes to get in shape, and he know what it takes to win. He followed the instructions of my father because he's been giving them as well. So it makes it a lot easier, you know. He knows his craft just as much as my dad. Him being up under my dad, he's still learning. It's still, you're always could learn. You always could learn. No matter how old you get, you always can learn. So even the process of him now becoming a coach with us, he's still in the process of learning himself. You know, so as a unit, we're growing.
Yeah, and it's wonderful to see the transition and to watch you guys. I mean, like, you know, even now, you know, just give our listeners, you know, tell our listeners exactly what's happening. I mean, you know, you guys are down there. You guys are actually down supporting your younger brother, am I correct?
In Florida, yep. Which he will be competing in the World Series of Boxing duels. It'll be USA versus Great Britain, well, I believe. Yes, Great Britain. And this is a duel which is held by AIBA, which allows you to keep your spot on the Olympic team. When you win the USA National, the Olympic Trials, that tournament qualifies you to represent the United States in a duel. And that duel that you win allows you to keep your spot on the Olympic team. So now we're down here prepping him. Well, we already did the preparation back at home. If he don't got it now, he's not going to get it. If he don't have it now, he's not going to get it. But we down here still polishing him up, man. He's good. He's going to make it do what he do. But once again, we down here as a unit, as a family. And we're going to make it happen. You know, as we down here, me and Gary Jr., we're still actually in training camp as well being down here. We've been training every day, two times a day since we've been down here, because we actually both have upcoming fights February 27th. So while we're down here, we're actually preparing for our fights next month, you know. But right now, our full focus is Antoine and getting his W on Saturday.
Now, I've talked to all the other brothers about it, but I've never talked to you, but you guys really made history, my man. I mean, you know, four brothers all winning national titles. I mean, what does that do for family pride, man? I mean, you know, it's like, you know, you walk into the room and you know, it kind of reminds me of, you know, maybe you haven't watched it, but if you've seen the commercial with Dale Curry and Stephen Curry and his brother, and where, you know, Stephen comes and sits in dad's seat, you know, and Dale says, hey, you know, you win one MVP. So how is it, you know, when all you guys are champions, man, like, you know, who gets the remote?
We come to a decision on where everybody wants to watch. Unless my dad comes in and be like, look, no, we watching this. Other than that, as a unit, we're going to decide on something that we all want to watch. You know?
Oh, man. Hey, like I said, man, hey, man, you know, your household has to be the most fun in the world, my man. But, you know, but talk to me a little bit about this Olympic thing here, because I've just, you know, I've heard so much controversy. Now, will your dad be able to stay on and coach get it all the way through, or is this going to be a thing where, you know, after a while, I mean, you know, from what I understand, we're not going to have any American coaches for our Olympic team, or, you know, or is your dad going to be part of that coaching staff?
Honestly, this is my first time hearing about it. I never knew that they wasn't going to have no American coaches coaching the Olympic team. However, that will be a problem. That will be an issue. If my pops cannot stand in my brother's corner and coach him, we're going to find a way to get through to him. Even if we're not allowed in his corner, we will be somewhere giving out instruction. Even if we're ringside, close to the ring, where as though he can hear us to give instructions, we will. We will. Even if we have to have someone on the phone to give him our instructions, we will. Because having no other coach got my brother to this point where he is now but my dad, and no other coach will get my brother to win a gold medal but my pops. There's no way in the world another coach is going to come and take credit for all the hard work and preparation that my brothers and my, not even my brothers, that my father put into my little brother. There's no way in the world it's going to happen. We won't allow it to happen. No, I think it's unfair. I think it's really unfair. That's ridiculous. You know, these, not just for my brother, but for every single fighter on the Olympic team that made it this far. If their coach, who got to the point where they are now, are not able to coach them in the biggest tournament they would probably ever fight in their amateur career, I think it's unfair and selfish. And however, I think it's a very dumb move. Us being representing to the United States, I think they will want as many gold medals as possible. And I think they will only get the gold medals by allowing the fighters to do what got them here to this point, and that's have their coaches in their corner, having their back.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's one of the problems that I have with it, you know. But, you know, maybe things will change. Maybe I digress. But, you know, that's seemingly that's the way this is supposed to work now. So, you know, it's going to be a little, you know, confusing. But, I'm confused by the whole thing. But I'm hoping that it's just going to be a rumor and that, you know, hey, I mean, right now we need for the Olympic team. We have an American heavyweight champ. We at least need our Olympic team to make a great showing.
Exactly. I mean, we got one heavyweight champ right now. We got Deontay Wilder. We just got another one last night. I forget his name, but he's another heavyweight champ. He has, I believe he just won the IBF belt. His name is Charles something, I forget, he just won two nights ago. I think he won the IBF.
Yeah.
Or the WBO.
Right.
It's one of them.
I think it's Charles Martin.
Charles Martin, that's his name.
Yeah.
That's his name.
But on the other hand, you know, all of a sudden now we got three heavyweight champions, another one pending, so we're not even going to talk about that landscape and what I think of different sanctioning bodies and whatnot. You know, we'll say that for a different conversation when you're a little bit deeper into the game. But you did mention that you and your brother were having fights next month in February. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the card that you're on? And, Abel, man, give us your final thoughts for the evening and tell everybody where they can find you on social media.
Yeah, we fight on the 27th of February. Of course, my brother is the headline of this card, and I believe Leo Santa Cruz will also be fighting on it. The other opponents or swing belts, I'm not really sure who it will be, but I know I will also probably be a swing belt on that card, you know. Social media, you can follow me on Instagram at Gary_Another_Wrestle. Everything spelled together, no spaces or anything.
All right, and you said you're on Facebook also, right?
Yes, I'm on Facebook at Gary Antonio Russell on Facebook.
All right, my man. Well, hey, it's good having you on the show. Enjoy talking to you. Always a pleasure to talk to anyone in the Russell family. And, hey, we look forward to your brother's victory and to having at least one or two of you back on. You know, if not before the fight, at least right after the victory, because you're a Russell. I know you're not going to lose.
That's right. Speaking to existence, man, you most definitely will. It was always a pleasure as well speaking to you, and I thank you for wanting to speak to me as well.
All right. You have a great night, my man, and look
man,
forward
you
to having
do the
you
same.
Back on soon. All right.
Sound like
and
a plan, man. You take it.
Tell Coach we said hi.
Most definitely will.
All right. You have a great night.
And you do the same.
That was Mr. Gary Antonio Russell. Always glad to talk to the Russell guys and a terrific family of boxers. But right now, we're in for a treat. We're going to finish the show off talking to Mr. Hammer and Hank Lundy. Been a lot of controversy here. I'm not exactly sure what it's all about and how Hank incurred all his wrath. But, hey, let's talk to Mr. Lundy and see what he thinks about all this.
Phil Durante.
Hello, Mr. Lundy. I guess we went to his voicemail. Let's see. It's gonna be look like it's gonna be another minute. Let's see. All right, let's see.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Lundy.
Yeah.
Hello? Hey.
Hello?
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Doing great.
Good.
Well, you know, let's get down to business here. First of all, glad to have you on the show. It's been quite a long time since we had you, but hey,
yes,
let's talk a little bit about this big fight you have coming up and why all of a sudden there's so much animosity to Mr. Kasparov.
I'm excited about it.
And I think we lost him. Hold on.
Huh?
Hello, did we hit you back? Hello.
Hi.
Hello, we were talking to Hank.
I know.
Hello?
Speaker. What's up? What?
Hello, is Hank there?
I'm here! What the hell?
Not exactly sure what's going on here. Mr. Lundy. We seem to be having some technical difficulties here. Not exactly sure what's going on, as usual. Oh, my goodness. Seems like somebody, or at least we can't seem to get through there, gave him a line. But this is going to be a very exciting fight here. Hank Lundy and Mr. Terrence Crawford. Like I said, not exactly sure where all this animosity is coming from, but it looks like it's going to be a great matchup. We have a lot of people saying that this is actually going to be a good fight. So I'm looking forward to it. Hey, it's going to be on free TV. That's always a plus. So, hey, let's make it happen. But now, if anyone's coming to L.A. this week, Thursday, I will be up in L.A. The Pugilist Corner will make its presence known at the Danny Garcia Guerrero fight. We'll be there to watch all the action. Haven't been to a fight in a little while up in L.A., so it'll be glad to get back up in the Staples Center. Also, you know, we have a lot of good action coming up. Leo Santa Cruz on February 27th is going to defend his 126-pound title against Kiko Martinez. That should be a great fight. And Robert Guerrero says he's going to silence the critics and bring out this victory over. Danny Garcia. This, I think, is going to be, you know, one of those crossroads fights for both fighters. You know, especially, you know, Robert he's been out of the ring for a long time, so he definitely has to make a good showing. Danny Need, of course, you know, I mean, Danny's a money fighter, but, you know, they're going to be fighting for the vacant, I believe, WBC 140-pound title this weekend. And there's going to be, you know, the undercard is not bad, too. Hey, anyone that doubted Deontay Wilder's power, I'm sure he put an end to that definitely Saturday night. We talked to Ronnie Sunday concerning Mr. Spilka. His condition is good, but that was a devastating knockout. We were intending to have Deontay on the show tonight, but unfortunately we couldn't get in touch with Mr. Hamer's publicist in time. So we hope to have him on in the coming week or so. Deontay has always been a good friend of the show, so we look to have him on soon. David Lemieux, be back in the ring March 12th. He's going to be fighting James De La Rosa. So, you know, it's good to see Lemieux back up and on his feet after that devastating knockout by Triple G. So, a lot of good fights coming up here. Let's see, just to talk a little. I was trying to pull up the undercard for the Garcia fight. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to go through all the sites and kind of take it to see who all is on this fight. But like I said, I'm looking forward to it, so we'll see. Another... let's try one more time to see if we can get Mr. Lundy back on the show here. Okay, still no word on Mr. Lundy, but okay, let's talk about some other fights. Kareem Mayfield, he'll be back in the ring January 30th. He's going to be fighting Dmitry Mekhalenov. Sorry, my Russian's not too good. But, yeah, good to see Kareem, hard-hitter Mayfield, get back in the ring. He's agreed, he's going to replace, I believe, let's see, who's he going to? He's actually in a replacement. He's a replacement for another fighter. But it is good to see Kareem get back in and in the ring. Gentlemen, what are you looking forward to in the Pacquiao and Bradley 3? I'm not really interested in really interested in seeing this fight, you know, unlike a lot of people, you know, unfortunately I do speak my mind, and this is not, you know, one that I'm willing to put down $75 or $100 for, you know, $49 maybe, I might go for it, but I think, you know, the most interesting contrast of styles is going to these Freddie Roach and Teddy Atlas. I'm looking a little bit more to seeing the two of them than I am actually seeing the combatants. And while we're at it, let's wish a happy birthday to Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali turned 74. It's always good to see the living legend, even though he might not be at the top of his health. You know, it's always good to see the man and the legend. Now, let's talk about some of the things that happened in the ring after the heavyweight fight. And I'm mainly talking about Tyson Fury jumping in the ring with Wilder after the show. Do you believe that Fury is the real deal? Or do you think that actually what happened was that Klitschko was not as prepared for this fight, and you know, it should be interesting to see which Klitschko comes out for round two. I don't think Klitschko prepared, and I really don't think his heart was into it. And you know, it might be that we're not giving Tyson Fury enough credit, but to make Tyson Fury Fighter of the Year to me was quite a bit of a stretch. I would have rather seen John Letito, Triple G. All of those fighters gave us a better representation of Fighter of the Year. I understand, you know, Tyson Fury not, you know, beat the legend. I understand, you know, Klitschko has held the title for a decade. I understand all of that, but, you know, are we giving Tyson Fury too much credit? You know, I think it remains to be seen. I would like to see him in, you know, I'd like to see him fight some of these guys. I mean, he's certainly big enough. We'll give him credit for that, but, you know, so is George Foreman. And we saw what happened when he fought Muhammad Ali. So we'll see. Another fighter that comes to mind, you know, we now, all of a sudden, now we have three heavyweight champions. We have another heavyweight champion that was crowned right before Deontay Wilder, Mr. Charles Martin. I don't think we got to see enough of Mr. Martin to really give him a grade or you know what kind of opponent or opposition he can face, because let's face it, you know, it was an injury. Gladoff, you know, did his best, but he was injured, and you know, but he did hold a good account of himself. Martin is a giant of a man, so, you know, I mean, you know, these guys are huge when you talk about Tyson Fury, and, you know, I mean, Deontay Wilder is no little man, but you could see there was a huge difference between him and Tyson. Like I said, it's going to, there's going to be, you know, there's going to be some controversy. Well, not controversy, but it's going to be very, very interesting, especially now that he's already fought him once, to see which Klitschko comes back. Is it the Klitschko that's going to be hungry, or is it a Klitschko that just might, you know, is just looking for revenge? Now, David Haye also fought, we've all talked, you know who David Haye is from his antics in the ring before. So it should be interesting to see what comes up with Mr. Haye. Mr. Haye, he beat up his opponent the night before the Wilder fight. So it's going to be very interesting to see who comes back. Kovalev and Pascal, too. Do we believe that there's going to be anything different? I don't. If there's any of you viewers out there that has a different opinion and wants to voice your opinion, all you have to do is press 1 and let me know. But I definitely don't think that there's going to be any change. I see Kovalev beating Pascal. I don't think that there's, you know. I'm kind of wondering, where's Adonis in all of this? When is Adonis going to come back in the ring? That I'm a little more, I'd like to see what's going to happen with him. Lucas Matisse is expected back in the ring. Mauricio Herrera, excuse me, in about a possible fight, including a rematch with Bobrovnikov. He's also talking about, you know, perhaps a showdown with Matisse, but Herrera is expected back in the ring in April and May, and he's a guy that's very fan-friendly, and we look to see what's going on with him. Oscar Valdez is scheduled to fight Mr. Gavadovich on April 19th. That's another great fight that, you know, promises to be very fan-friendly. Anyone want to offer any comments or possible talk to me about the PBC and the PBS series? We see all the controversy, the lawsuits and whatnot, but in the end, the question that I have to ask is PBC good for boxing or not? And if it's good, then what's the beef? Now, anyone that's if you want to watch, if there's boxing on tonight, of course, Fox Deportes or Fox Sports 1, you can catch the end of those fights, or if you haven't been watching it already, on your local cable network, you can catch the end of the main, Javier Molina against Jamal James is the main event. And if I'm correct, let me see. The Premier Boxing Champions comes on. It'll be on at 8 o'clock. So we're actually about 45 minutes away from the Premier Boxing Champs on Fox Sports 1. And as I said, you know, what is your idea as far as the PBC series? Is it good for boxing? Is it bad for boxing? Check us out on our Facebook page. You can leave comments. Let's see, the main event tonight on the PBC Fox Sports series, I believe this is the premier event for Fox Sports as far as PBC. I believe this is the first of the brand new events. We have Javier Molina is fighting Jamal James, David Benavidez against Kevin Cobb. We also have a good friend of the show, Cable Plant, is going to be fighting Mr. Adasat Rodriguez. It's going to be an eight-rounder. We'll probably have Mr. Cable Plant on next week's show in the prospect spot. And as I said, hopefully we'll be able to get either Mr. Kenny Porter or the heavyweight champion, Mr. Deontay Wilder. Hopefully one of them will be able to make an appearance. Maybe we'll be able to get our technical difficulties with Hank Lundy. Maybe we'll be able to get those settled and get Mr. Hank Lundy on the show. But I'm very sorry tonight that we weren't able to get Mr. Lundy on the show. But we had great interviews with Mr. Jake the Snake Smith. We also had a great interview with Gary Antonio Russell. From the Fighting Russell brothers. We look forward to getting the younger Antoine on the show after he comes out of this World Series of Boxing. We'll find out a little bit more about the coaching of this Olympic team because now I'm kind of curious now that Gary Antonio said that he didn't know that his father wasn't going to be able to coach his son all the way through the Olympics. I'm going to go investigate that a little bit further and possibly get Coach on and see. Maybe we've been misinformed here, you know, or maybe, you know, his situation is perhaps a little bit different. But a great interview with the son tonight. Sorry we couldn't get Hank on the show. And we look forward to, you know, coming back next week with not only Deontay or Mr. Kenny Porter, but also possibly, excuse me, just got an email from the champ's publicist here, so maybe he'll confirm us for next week. sounds like we might be able to get the champ on next week. We'll see if that works out. And we thank everyone for bearing with us this evening. Look forward to having everyone back next week. Like I said, give us, check us out on Facebook. We're also Pugilist Corner on Facebook, facebook.com/ The Pugilist Corner. You can also catch us on the web at thepugilistcorner.com. Also, don't forget, we have the Weekend Wrap with veteran trainer John Scully and weekly session Straight Talk with Mr. Ronnie Shields. That's every Sunday from 6 to 8. You can catch us on the Sports Crib, where we talk all things sports, hosted by Mr. Kalani Lua, on Thursdays. So have a great night, everyone. We look forward to having you back next week. And hopefully we'll have an action-packed program for you with some very outstanding fighters visiting the Pugilist Corner. So have a great night, everyone. We'll see you next week.